Chapter 13, Submissive Pose.
Okay,
Nala said, and got up. She went out of Melissa's stall. Melissa stood up and followed her. Nala closed the door in front of her, and it clicked shut, keeping Melissa inside.
When you see someone coming to you and opening your cage,
Nala took out her keys and began to open the door.
You can't just stand there as you do now. You have to demonstrate to your handler that you are not a threat. So by the time I open the door,
and then she opened the door fully,
you have to assume a submissive pose.
Melissa just stared at her confusedly. Nala entered Melissa's stall and stood next to her.
Submissive poses can look differently depending on the context, and there are also regional differences in Grabesh. But here at the health office, you are expected to lie on the floor, front first, head towards your handler, and your hands next to your head, palms up. Try it!
Melissa looked at Nala, seemingly trying to judge if she was serious. Nala looked back at her and gave her an encouraging smile. Okay, Nala was serious about this. Melissa decided she would assume the demeaning posture Nala had described. Then Melissa took two steps back from Nala. She hesitatingly knelt on the ground, facing Nala, bent to go on all fours, and finally placed her front on the cool cement floor. Her head was at Nala's feet. Melissa looked up, but could only see up to Nala's knees from there.
Okay, that's a good start, but remember what you have to do with your hands.
Melissa tried to remember. Then she turned her hands so the palms faced upwards and placed them next to her head. Melissa felt as if she was worshiping Nala. Was this really what slaves did? She wondered. Melissa had no frame of reference, and she hadn't seen any other slaves here. She felt the urge to get up again.
That's good. Now your feet. Spread them a bit.
Melissa spread her legs until her hobble chain went taut.
Well done. That's the submissive pose you need to take when someone enters your stall.
Melissa turned her palms to the ground and pushed herself up into a sitting position, readying herself to get up.
That is quite intense.
Stay!
Nala exclaimed.
Once you put yourself into a submissive pose, you cannot dismiss yourself from it. Go back into the submissive pose, Melissa.
Grudgingly, Melissa returned to the demeaning pose, placing her head back in front of Nala's feet and turning her palms upwards.
I realize you are not from here and you really have no understanding of the culture. When you are in the submissive pose, it means that you are handing control over yourself to the free person coming into the stall. And that means you need his permission to break position. You basically have to stay like that until the handler tells you otherwise. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Melissa sighed at Nala's feet.
All right, let's try this. You may rise, Melissa.
Melissa got up from the floor. She was shaken by this experience. Nala left the stall, shut the door, and took a few steps back.
When you see me approaching, Melissa, you should get ready. You have to be in submissive pose when the door opens.
Nala walked back to the door. Melissa looked at her dumbfounded. Was this really happening? Nala put the key in the lock and started turning. Melissa sighed and forced herself to go to the opposite wall, facing the door. Then she prostrated herself before the door as prescribed, so she was at Nala's feet when Nala opened the door.
Good,
Nala said. It sounded like she was smiling and happy with her, but Melissa couldn't see Nala's face from her vantage point. Nala walked past her into the stall.
That was a good start, but you need to be much faster. I opened the door very slowly to give you enough time.
Can I get up now?
Melissa, You really have to stop speaking like a free woman. I just told you something. You have to acknowledge it with, yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Sorry, ma'am.
After a pause, Melissa asked,
Can I get up now, ma'am?
Nala sighed. Melissa, here is another thing. As a free woman, I can talk to you whenever I want. But if you want to address me from the submissive pose, you have to ask for permission to speak first. Melissa desperately sighed on the inside.
May I speak, ma'am?
That's better. Look at it this way. You are in the submissive pose. That means you are telling me that I have full control over you. And that means, oh, that if you want to ask a question, you need some of that control back. That is why you have to ask me for permission to speak. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
It actually did make sense to Melissa, but the logic of the behavioral rules Nala was imposing on her made her despair.
Yes, you may speak,
Nala responded to Melissa's earlier question.
Can I get up, ma'am?
Yes, you can, Melissa.
Melissa slowly rose to her feet, jarred by the experience.
You always need permission to get out of this submissive pose. The permission can be given explicitly or implicitly. When you asked me for permission to get up, I explicitly gave you permission. But if your handler orders you to do something that requires you to get out of the submissive pose, then the permission has been given implicitly. Or if your handler leaves you, then you can get up as well. That is also implicit permission to break position. Or, simply put, once you are in submissive pose, you can't decide to break position on your own. It is up to your handler to release you from it.
Melissa gulped and nodded. This was a lot to take in. She didn't like any of it. She felt like she was being trained like an animal, and Nala was the animal tamer in charge of her.
Okay, let's try this again, but I'll go at normal speed. Ready?
Melissa nodded tiredly. Nala stepped out of the stall again, stepped away down the corridor a few meters, and then said,
Okay, here we go,
and started walking back. She walked to the stall door, and Melissa rushed to the back of the cage, her ankle chains making hectic clinking noises. Nala had reached the door. She started turning the key. Melissa tried to lower herself on the cement floor quickly, but without slamming herself down. She was careful to slow her descent before her breasts made contact with the floor. The cement was unyielding. Placing her breasts on it felt like pressing into a hard pillow. Her head reached the floor just when Nala pulled the door open, standing in front of her. Melissa hastily brought her hands to her head and turned her palms upward. This was too late because the door was already open and Nala was standing before her, but Melissa hoped that Nala would overlook this.
Better, but you should be done putting yourself into this position by the time I've entered the cell. Let's try this again.
Yes, ma'am.
Melissa suppressed a sigh. Nala picked up on Melissa's impatience.
Hey, Melissa, this is already pretty good. But it is not quite right when you're still fixing yourself up when your handler enters your stall. The idea here is that it is you who should be waiting for your handler, not the other way around.
They repeated this several times. Nala kept entering the stall, and Melissa tried to be fast enough to prostrate herself before her by the time the door was opened. It was a drill. Melissa was panting, but she had learned to move more quickly, and that she could save some time by not going on all fours, but going down on her hands directly, and then placing them next to her head while she was lowering herself, and then immediately turning them up. Nala drilled the submissive pose into Melissa to make sure she would perform the pose reliably. Melissa felt like a dog being conditioned to report to her master's feet upon the opening of a door. Melissa didn't like it.
You're doing well,
Nala said as she entered Melissa's stall once more.
Don't forget to spread your feet.
Melissa spread her legs. Then she was lying before Nala in the prescribed position. Nala walked past her into the stall. Melissa was keeping her palms upward. It was an unnatural position that forced her to maintain a constant effort. Melissa relaxed her arms, and her hands naturally turned inwards with the thumb at the top. Nala noticed this lapse.
Don't break position,
Nala admonished her. Damn, she noticed, Melissa thought, tensed her arms and turned her palms upward again.
Do you know why the palms have to be upward in this position?
Nala asked her. Does she really want to have a conversation with me while I'm like this? Melissa thought to herself. She racked her brain, trying to come up with reasons why having palms up might be a good idea. It didn't make any sense to her, and she found it awkward to converse like this with a standing person, and that made it hard for her to think clearly.
No, Mom,
Melissa replied weakly from the floor.
The reason is that historically, masters wanted to make sure that the slaves were unarmed. It is hard to conceal a weapon when you are naked, but slaves might still hold a weapon in their hand. By turning your palms upward, you are showing that you are unarmed. Does that make sense?
Yes, Mom,
Melissa dutifully replied.
It is good if you know the reasons for these things. That makes them easier to remember. You will be less likely to forget to hold your hands like this when you remember that you are showing your handler that you are not holding any weapon in your hands.
Yes, ma'am.
Melissa felt like she had spent a lot of time on the floor by now, but Nala wasn't done yet.
The rules for slaves exist for a reason, Melissa. They have evolved over a long time in this country. If you make an effort to understand them, you will probably do the right thing. Don't just memorize postures or other rules. Try to understand why the rules exist, and you will be less likely to misstep.
Yes, ma'am.
This was going on forever. It felt so awkward to converse like this with a standing person.
Can I get up now, ma'am?
Melissa, what did we just discuss?
Melissa was confused. Then she remembered.
Sorry, ma'am. May I speak, ma'am?
Yes, you may.
Can I get up now, ma'am?
No, not yet.
Melissa was surprised. She had considered her asking a formality. She had not expected Nala to deny her permission to rise. By doing so, Nala was forcing her to remain lying on the ground.
Your feet,
Nala continued.
Why do you have to keep them apart?
Melissa knew that spreading her legs provided a view of her private parts. Men would certainly take advantage of this. She didn't want to admit this to Nala.
I don't know, Mom,
she replied.
It is about your ankle chains,
Nala said.
You are hobbled so you can't run, but slaves might find a way to break the hobble chain while they are unsupervised. If they keep their feet together, they can conceal this. The handler might be taken by surprise and the slave could try to run. By spreading your feet, you are showing your handler that your hobble chain is intact, so he knows that you can't run. Does that make sense, Melissa?
Yes, ma'am,
Melissa acknowledged.
You don't have to spread your feet so far that the chain is taut as you are doing now, Melissa. The chain can hang. What is important is that it is fully visible to your handler, so he knows you are hobbled. Okay?
Yes, ma'am,
Melissa said, moving her feet close together to release the tension on her ankle shackles.
Good. You are currently not handcuffed, but if you were, you would hold your hands out in front of you. In that case, it is important that you don't cross your hands, which might conceal the chain. Can you guess why?
So, my handler knows that my handcuffs are intact.
Exactly. You're showing your handler that you have not slipped your cuffs or broken your chains. I think you are getting the idea now. There is one more thing about this position, she continued. Can you guess what it is?
Melissa wondered what that was supposed to mean. Why would she be able to guess the subtleties of these demeaning slave postures?
No, Mom,
Melissa replied, wishing this lesson to be over.
Well, when handlers come to your store, then the reason will often be to pick you up. And when they do that, they may wish to restrain you. This is done while you are in the submissive pose.
Nala took out the handcuffs.
When a handler takes out the handcuffs, you must be ready to be bound.
Nala approached Melissa near her head.
Hold your hands out in front of you, wrists close together.
Melissa held her hands in front of her, crossing her wrists. Nala pretended she wanted to cuff Melissa, but just held the handcuffs over her wrists.
No, don't cross your wrists. Hold them next to each other so I can put the cuffs on you without having to move your hands.
Melissa raised her head so she could see the handcuffs Nala was holding in front of her and positioned each wrist under one cuff. Before Nala had made her do this, Melissa had been able to press the backs of her hands against the cement floor to bear some of her weight. Now that Nala was making her stretch her arms before her, she could no longer do that, and her breasts were pushing into the cement. She felt the hardness of the cement on the breasts. It was not painful but uncomfortable, at least for now. Melissa hoped this would be over soon.
Good,
Nala said and stood up.
Remember how you're holding your arms now. That is the forward binding position within the submissive pose. When you see that your handler wants to cuff you in front, then you go into this position without him needing to ask. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am,
Melissa said miserably.
Good. Your handler might also choose that he wants to cuff you behind your back. It is the same again. If you see him approach you with handcuffs near your back, then you place your hands on your back, ready for cuffing. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let's try this,
Nala said, and approached Melissa at the level of her buttocks. Melissa obediently shifted her hands to her back.
Closer, Melissa. Put your wrists closer together. Yes, like that. Good,
Nala commented as Melissa pushed her arms together behind her back to make it as easy as possible to restrain her.
That's it, really. Not that hard, is it?
Nala asked.
No, ma'am,
Melissa said, though she did find it hard that she had to assist so much in her own control.
Any questions?
No, ma'am.
You may get up then.
Melissa brought her arm back to her front, pushed herself up, and got back on her feet. She wanted to get out of here as soon as possible. Arbeck would not make her do these things. Once she got out of here, she would no longer have to put herself into these demeaning poses.
One more thing, Melissa. When a handler is in the store with you, as I am now, and leaves, you have to go into submissive pose as well.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you guess why?
To show my submission?
No, Melissa. Try to see the logic in these protocols. They were made to keep slaves in check. Look, if I leave your stall...
Nala turned from Melissa and started walking towards the door.
Then I have to turn my back to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Melissa gave an affirmative grunt, wondering when this lesson would be over.
And that would give a slave an opportunity to attack. Do you see?
Yes, ma'am.
I could leave without turning my back to you by walking out of the store backwards. That way I could keep my eyes on you. But what would be wrong with that?
You couldn't see where you were going, ma'am. It would not be safe.
No, Melissa. That is not the point. The master should not have to feel unsafe or have to go out of his way to ensure his safety. It is your job as a slave to make sure he does not have to worry about you being a threat. And you do that by going into the submissive pose when you see he is about to leave. You cannot attack when you are in the submissive pose. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's great, Melissa. I actually do have to go now,
Nala said, picking up the empty food containers and bottles and putting them into the plastic bag. She took the plastic bag and turned towards the door. When she was halfway, she turned and looked at Melissa, who was standing there. Melissa looked back at her. It took her a moment, then she understood. Melissa lowered herself to the ground as she had learned, put her head to the floor before Nayla's feet, and placed her hands next to her head, hands up as she had just learned.
Very good, Melissa. Remember this. It will keep you out of trouble. I'll see you later.
Yes, Mom,
Melissa replied from the floor. Nala left the stall and slammed the door shut, locking Melissa in. When Melissa heard her walking away, she stood up, walked to the wall, and sat down next to the bars. Melissa's emotions were a tangled mess from the humiliating training under Nala's instruction. She had entered this world with no understanding of its customs or expectations. Each directive from Nala felt like a step further into an alien existence. As she had reluctantly assumed the submissive pose, a strong sense of degradation had washed over her. The physical act of placing herself in such a vulnerable position, her body pressed against the hard, cold floor, was not just physically uncomfortable, but also struck a deep chord of indignity within her. Melissa couldn't shake the feeling she was becoming a trained animal to be handled and restrained at will. This realization was accompanied by a budding fear. The fear of what it meant to live under such conditions, how long this would last. Nala had said she might be held here for 2 weeks. She couldn't help but worry to what extent her identity would be reshaped by her time here. Beneath her outward compliance, anger simmered quietly. Now, the anger was not explosive, but a deep, seething resentment that she knew she must keep hidden, for to show it might only worsen her situation. Melissa was waiting for when she would be released from here so she could reclaim some semblance of control or dignity. She was learning to navigate this harsh reality, but each lesson made her feel a longing for the life of the free woman she had been before. Melissa heard the door open and people come in and make a commotion. She couldn't see them. Although she was sitting against the side wall of her cage near the bars, the side wall opposite from her extended beyond the bars by about 2 feet and blocked her view. As they came nearer, she saw the cattle prods on their belts. They were pushing a wheelbarrow and using buckets to top up the feed for the animals in the troughs of their stalls. When they were close to her, they filled up the troughs of the stalls opposite of her, although there were no animals in them. One of the workers took a tray that had been in the wheelbarrow and came near her cage. Melissa tensed. This was for her. Would the worker open her cage to give her the tray? Did this mean she had to go into the submissive pose Nala had taught her to avoid being punished? To her relief, the worker just pushed the tray through the feeding slot at the bottom of her stall's door. He gave her a smile and moved on.
Thank you, sir,
Melissa said. Melissa took off the aluminum foil and found cooked lentils with cucumber. She had a few spoons of the dish, but she was grateful that Nayla had brought her good food already earlier. She saw workers bringing animals into the empty stalls. They ignored her. Later, a worker came with a bucket. She had expected him to walk past her cage, but he stopped and took out his keys from her pocket. She looked up at him. He was beginning to unlock her door and looking at her. Startled, she remembered Nayla's lessons from earlier. Was he expecting her to prostrate herself before him? She wondered. The man had frozen with the key in the door and was glaring at her. Hastily, she got up, scurried to her feet, and hurried to the wall. Then she laid herself to the ground as Nayla had taught her, front first and palms up. The man unfroze and unlocked the door. He entered her cell with the bucket.
"This is for you,"
he said, and put the bucket in the corner of the stall.
"You can use it if you need to go to the bathroom."
Then he went back to the exit.
"Well, don't you have something to say?"
"Thank you, sir,"
Melissa replied dutifully from her position on the ground. The man exited the cage and slammed the door shut, locking her in. Once he was gone, Melissa got up again and checked the bucket. It was a large bucket with a lid. Melissa sighed and went back to sit against the wall near the bars of her cage.